What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Monday, November 13th, 2017, almost halfway through the month here, coming up on Thanksgiving. And we have got a lot of stuff to talk about today. In fact, the talking points list is really huge. I don't know that I'm going to get through all of it today. Meanwhile, the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone when you call on in. And let's just get right on into it. A lot of stuff going on here. Apparently, Donald Trump is now in Manila and was greeted with thousands of people protesting the arrival of the U.S. president. And as you know, things are not really very good with the Philippines right now, going back to when Obama went down there and tried to lecture them on going easy on the drug criminals. Really, you shouldn't treat the drug criminals that bad. You know, they're just hardworking people. And at that point, the long enduring U.S.-Philippine relations just dropped. And then all of a sudden, Al-Qaeda showed up and the Philippines had to deal with that to avoid a U.S. intervention. So now Trump is over there. Hopefully he's going to mend a few bridges, but the Philippine people are not happy about that at all. Now, over in the House Oversight Committee, Chairman Trey Gowdy has opened a new investigation into the Department of Justice's handling of the Hillary Clinton email scandal. Long, long, long overdue. And basically, not a lot of coverage about this in the corporate media. They don't want you looking at that stuff, because if it comes on out that there was a crime going on there, if it comes on out that my speculation was correct and Hillary was selling U.S. secrets to foreign interests using that weak private email server and that charitable foundation to collect and launder the money, the corporate media is going to have egg all over their face because they had the same information we did and they dropped the ball on that. Now, as you know, Judge Roy Moore, he's a GOP nominee for the United States Senate, and all of a sudden he's been hit with these allegations that he inappropriately sexually approached or propositioned teenage girls something like 30 years ago. And a lot of people were very suspicious about that whole situation because all of a sudden the Washington Post had the identity of four girls who did not know each other. And so it was suspicious right from the beginning. It looks like they're trying to get him on out so that the Democrats can win that Senate seat. The Democrats have not given up this idea of playing dirty. They think it's their divine right. And now we've got this YouTube video that came on out with it that accuses Washington Compost reporter Beth secretly recorded, offering a woman $1,000 to accuse Roy Moore. So Judge Roy Moore is now suing the Washington Post, but it looks like it's another hatchet job. And we have to be careful right now. Ever since Harvey Weinstein's thing came on down, everybody is flinging sexual allegations all over the place. And we need to be careful. Some of them are probably true. A lot of them are probably false, just desperate attempts to get free publicity or use as a political weapon, which seems to be the case with Judge Roy Moore. But he's absolutely adamant that none of this stuff happened, and he's staying in the Senate race. And already they've got Democrats out there saying, well, if he stays in the race and he wins, the Senate should remove him anyway. Now, this is all on the basis of unproven allegations, of at least one of which comes from a woman who's working for Moore's opposition and is a hardcore Democratic supporter, worked for Joe Biden, worked for Hillary Clinton. And then we have the second allegation that another of these women was actually paid to come on out and accuse Judge Roy Moore. So we got to be very, very careful about this. But one thing, politics is dirty. We all know it is. And now it's on full view for the American people. Now, more information is coming on out regarding this meeting between Russian lawyer Natalia Valentinskaya with Donald Trump Jr. And it turns on out that Glenn Simpson, who's the co-founder of Fusion GPS, which is right in the heart of all of this stuff. This is the company that hired former British spy Christopher Steele to come up with that dodgy dossier about Trump and the prostitutes and the rest of it. And it turns out this co-founder of Fusion GPS met with the lawyer, Veselnitskaya, before and after her meeting with Trump associates. And, of course, everybody at the meeting said that the meeting was totally about repeal of the Magnitsky Act and had nothing to do with the campaign. So more Democrat dirty dealing is exposed here. And apparently, Fusion GPS is now starting to think about their own survival. A month ago, the two Fusion GPS co-founders pled the fifth and refused to testify to the House Intelligence Committee. But now a third co-founder has agreed to answer questions from the committee next week. And basically, Fusion GPS made a deal that this third co-founder, Glenn Simpson, will come in and testify to the House committee if the other subpoenas for the other two co-founders are withdrawn. And the committee agreed to withdraw the subpoena. So that's where we are with that right now. Of course, if this third co-founder keeps saying, I don't know, that was somebody else's department, these other co-founders could get subpoenaed yet again. But the mere fact that they're out there saying Fifth Amendment, tells you they know they did something wrong. Like a flashing neon sign, guilty, 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 just Velcroed onto their forehead. We're going to do a shout out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. We're talking about all the corruption that's going on in Washington. And it's starting to look like somebody did put a dead horse's head in Donna Brazile's bed, because all of a sudden she's making the rounds, literally trying to discredit her own book. And she's out there now saying, no, the Democrats didn't rig the primaries. And no, Seth Rich was just, you know, she's backing off on all of it. Well, too late. It is in the book. And I've been notified by Amazon that my copy is on the way. But it's very obvious pressure was brought to bear on her. And she's going on out. And she's going to be the good little Democrat and try and tone down the scandal. But it's a little too late. The word is out there. Now, speaking of doing a 180 turnaround, remember a couple of days ago, end of last week, President Trump said he believed Vladimir Putin when he claims he did not interfere with last November's election. Then he turns around immediately and at a press conference said he believes the views of the U.S. intelligence agencies, who are absolutely convinced that Russia intervened. Well, Mr. Trump, I would remind you of just how badly the CIA lied to President John F. Kennedy about the Bay of Pigs. Before you start taking their word on anything, intelligence agencies, by definition, are not to be trusted. Now, of course, McCain is out there saying, of course you can't trust Putin. He's ex-KGB. You trust our spies over their spies. But then McCain wants a war. McCain is fully on board with bankrupting this nation as long as he gets to have more wars. It's going to be so much fun here. Now, Joe Biden is all of a sudden starting to make noises that he may run in 2020, and he's already starting to wander around the outside of the ring, hat in hand, and he basically is starting to take some shots at Hillary Clinton for how she handled her own campaign in 2016. And Biden was on the Today Show and said that Hillary's biggest mistake was that she should have addressed the middle class and said, this is what I'm going to do for you, rather than getting into all this tabloid conversations about Trump's locker room talk and allegations about Russia and the rest of it. And he said, this many months after the election, nobody can still say definitively what Hillary Clinton's position on the middle class was. And he's absolutely right. Her campaign was all shadow and no substance. She never really took a position on much of anything. She was just out there playing the woman card and the race card and everything else she could think of trying to win that White House, but she never really had a platform. Now, according to InfoWars, both Tony and John Podesta are facing criminal indictments linked to this ongoing Russia probe. And that may explain why the Podesta Group is now being shut down. It's one of Washington's most prominent lobbying groups. And as you know, Tony stepped down, and then the CEO left supposedly to start her own firm. But now we're hearing that the Podesta Group is just shutting down, which means they're going to back up the truck with the paper shredder in it and start shredding all their records. Now, here's a very interesting little story. This came out of Consortium News. Did Al-Qaeda dupe Trump on the Syria attack? And they're talking about that gas attack. Of course, the new United Nations-sponsored report on the April 4th sarin incident blames Bashar al-Assad's government. And the thing is, in that own report, in the UN's own report, is a smoking gun that says it is not true. because in Annex 2, which is a bunch of supporting documents put on the back, if you read that far, you would find out that more than 100 victims of sarin exposure were taken to several area hospitals before the alleged Syrian warplane could have approached the town of Khan Shukun. But still, the desired conclusion, oh yeah, Assad did it. We've got to go in and remove Assad. But apparently, according to the UN's own report in the Annex 2, the admission times of the records range between 0600 and 1600 hours, and those early cases arrived before the alleged airstrike. So, again, the sarin was there before the Syrian warplane was even overhead. Now, Russia has criticized this new UN report by pointing out that by default, they excluded any consideration of any other parties in Syria having these chemical weapons. That was their thinking. We know that Assad is the only one with these weapons, therefore it must be him. That's their rationale. But we have been hearing reports over the last several weeks of every time the Syrian army overtakes yet another one of these Al-Qaeda or ISIS command bunkers, they find the chemical weapons or the precursors for the chemical weapons in there. And remember, some years ago, Bashar al-Assad, in a Russian-negotiated deal, surrendered all of his chemical weapons to international inspectors. So the U.S. story is he hid some, and he's the only one that would dare use them. Well, again, the story was ridiculous. Why would he do it? He doesn't have a motive. He's winning the war. The only one who benefits from any kind of a chemical weapon attack is the United States, because it uses it as an excuse to say, we have to go on back in. We have to go back into Syria and get the evil Assad. Now, Syria has expressed its strong condemnation of the war crimes committed by the U.S.-led coalition against civilians in the country. And in a letter to the U.N. Secretary General and the head of the Security Council, the Syrian Foreign Ministry said that the international coalition's feverish quest to derail the victories of the country's army and its allies over ISIS terror groups confirms the suspicious role of the coalition and the danger it poses to real efforts aimed at fighting ISIS. And again, we have been hearing this over the last several months, where the U.S. will go on in and say, we're going to bomb ISIS and Al-Qaeda, and whoops, we missed ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Sorry about that food processing plant or the water treatment plant or that oil pipeline. We're just really terrible eyesight on our pilots. They're overworked. We're dealing with manpower shortages. Now, BBC has uncovered details of a secret deal that let hundreds of ISIS fighters and their families escape from Raqqa under the watchful eyes of the U.S. and British-led coalition and the Kurdish-led forces who controlled the city. They just let them escape. A convoy including some of ISIS's most notorious members and dozens of foreign fighters were allowed to leave the city before the Syrian army got there. And some of them have spread out across Syria again. Some of them have made it all the way to Turkey. All right, let's take a phone call. Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha, Dustin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Doing okay.
Hey, Mike. I'm 46 years old, and 46 years ago, this nurse smacked me on my butt. And I think it was sexual harassment, so I'm going to come out now and say it because it's been bothering me for
26 years.
Oh,
no question about it. No question about it. No question about it. Yes.
This is the same. If anybody falls for this, they're morons. It's the same crap that they tried to do with Trump. They rolled out all these people. You know, 30 years later, where were they? I mean, how old is this woman? She must be 60 years old or something.
Well, I don't know which woman you're talking about. I mean, the four women who are making accusations against Judge Roy Moore are claiming they were teenagers when he supposedly propositioned them. And apparently nothing actually happened. They're just saying he propositioned them, which would put them probably, you know, into their 40s and almost 50s now.
Yeah, what a joke. I mean, like, my God, this is what we've become, Mike. Like, they have nothing else to offer. No, both parties, you know, they just have nothing to offer, Mike. No tax plan, no nothing, you know, just war and welfare.
It's just about seizing power, plundering the nation, trying to conquer the rest of the world.
Hey, Mike, on Trump's trip, boy, I thought America was going to be loved again.
Well, not really. It's not turning out to be a wonderful trip. I mean, he really didn't get a lot from China. He didn't really get a lot from South Korea. Now he's in there in Manila. You know, this could be strike three and he's out.
Why would the Chinese give us anything? You know what I mean? Like, they're in the driver's seat economically now. You know what I mean?
They've got the world's strongest currency. And, of course, like I said, it was a brain-dead foreign policy to be asking for China to go along with trade deals that would shift the economy back to the U.S., pressure on North Korea. At the same time, you got U.S. warships making stink face at all those Chinese islands in the South China Sea.
Yeah, they're using, that Sun Tzu. You know, they're building infrastructure of other countries. They're making friends and deals.
Oh, yeah.
Trump just went to look at... Everywhere he goes, there's been protests, and that's not Trump. It's America is the face of Trump.
It's the U.S. government. And see, here's the problem: the U.S. doesn't have anything to offer that anybody else on this planet wants. Our manufactured goods are now seen as overpriced junk. Nobody wants our GMO agriculture, and so from the point of view of the war hawks in Washington D.C., the only possible option is to conquer the rest of the world and force them back to Bretton Woods.
Yeah, I know some people, like a couple of times I call, like, I know somebody calls and says, well, you know, it's not the American people. Well, it's not the American people, but unfortunately, the U.S. government represents us. So they give us a bad stain.
Given last year's Democratic primaries, I would question that statement. I think the U.S. government represents the military-industrial complex. They represent Wall Street, and they don't really represent the American people. Because the majority of the American people want peace. They want an end to these wars. They think the Iran deal is just fine. They want this government to stop spending all these trillions and trillions of dollars in all of these overseas misadventures and bring it back home and invest it in our country. So the U.S. government is not, in fact, representing the American people. They may portray themselves as doing that, but it's not true.
It's been like that for a long time, too. They haven't represented this country in a long time. Hey, Mike, on Iran... I know there's some people who, like, I don't know, they call in, they might not. Iran is not driving over people. They're not Wahhabists. They're not taking machetes out on the streets of in the Europe countries. So I don't know why all this hate. Well, we know why the hate is on Iran, but I just want people to keep this in mind. You know, like you said, the Iranians haven't attacked anybody in over 200 and something years. You know, and all the troubles coming out of Saudi Arabia, the United States, Britain, or U.S. government. The government.
And Israel,
not everybody in Saudi Arabia is bad, Mike. And Israel. But not everybody in Saudi Arabia and Israel are bad. But unfortunately, we're all governed by bad people.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, we really are. But again, the situation in Iran is they haven't really done anything. And so the entire case against Iran is all rumor and innuendo that they were somehow involved in this, and they're state sponsors of terror, and we can't tell you how because it reveals methods and so forth. Now they're trying to say that Iran was behind 9/11, based solely on that. It is a joke, and it's based solely on that court decision where some judge said, well, we suspect Iran was behind it, therefore the families of the victims can sue the Iranian government. And there was no proof proffered there, but they're taking that court decision and saying, see, Iran was behind 9/11, we have to go punish them. And the war rhetoric is really getting very reckless. It's not believable. And I'm hoping that the majority of Americans, and for that matter, everybody in the world, is seeing through it. And understands that what's really going on is this is American conquest for wealth, because without it, the American economy is headed for an imminent collapse.
I just want to say that with Iran, at least they have elections. Saudi Arabia, which is our best arms buddy, and you know, along with the Britons to the Saudis, you know, they have a purge going on. Yeah, so
yes.
You know, Game of Thrones. So that tells you. Who you're allied against tells something on who you are. You know what I mean, Mike? Like, if you're allied with these people, that tells you who your government aligns themselves with, which is no good.
Well,
makes you no good.
The U.S. government's best friends are all these dictatorships with fake elections here. Dustin, got to let you go. Got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility. Provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. A couple more stories before we go back to the phones here. Tel Aviv is basically signaling that Israel plans to continue striking Syria, and they are refusing to recognize the de-escalation zone agreement that was put together by Russia and the U.S. in the southwest of Syria. And basically, Israel had some input on that. They wanted a buffer zone in southern Syria, basically 50 kilometers long. The agreement that Russia and U.S. came up with fell short of that. So Israel is saying, we didn't get what we want. We're not going to pay attention to it. And we reserve the right to continue attacking Syria to deal with those Iranian-backed forces. Actually, what's going on is that Syria is still illegally occupying the Golan Heights, and they have started selling off the oil and gas underneath it. They don't want Syria to take it back. And you can bet that now that this war with ISIS, Al-Qaeda, the U.S. and everything is coming to an end, the next thing on Syria's agenda is going to be taking back that Golan Heights and all of its oil and gas wealth. And Israel doesn't want to give it back. They've already sold it. Deal is a deal. Israel has also deployed the Iron Dome missile defense batteries in central Israel, claiming there is a threat of terror attack from Gaza. which means they're getting ready to have one of their agents in Gaza fire another bottle rocket into the dirt of Israel, at which point they'll start bombing Gaza yet again. They seem to do this every 2 to 3 years, regular as clockwork here. All right, let's take some phone calls. James in Ohio, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi. Coincidentally, like the last caller, in 8 hours I'll be the big 5-0, and I suffered the same kind of sexual harassment from a nurse 50 years ago. I have to say, this reverse sexual discrimination is a terrible thing. I know when women look at us, they just see beefcake, but I would ask them to keep in mind that there's
actually,
a brain
in my
in
case,
there,
it's beef jerky.
Okay, yeah.
Because I'm all dried out.
And
okay.
But there's a brain in there and emotions, too. Now, a troubling sign on the Iran front, today McCain had a open-air press conference, and he was burning old 45s from Flock of Seagulls. But, you know, Iran. Hello?
James, are you? Yeah, you're on the air. I'm trying to figure out what it is you're saying.
Oh, it was a joke. Never mind.
Okay.
But, yeah, with Trump, things like the appointment of Nikki Haley, Saudi Arabia arms deal, now he's tough on Iran. Apparently he favors civil asset forfeiture, and the appointment of Samantha Power, whoops, I mean Nikki Haley.
Well, the other one is they've just replaced Victoria Nuland, but apparently her replacement is just as pro-war and pro-regime change as Victoria was.
Yeah, I'm beginning to be glad that actually in this election, like all the rest, I abstained because there was no... I mean, I think we really needed a win. We really needed to feel that, but I think it's going to take too long for people to catch up to the fact that, in my opinion, Trump has turned. And yeah,
well, he's definitely he's been controlled somehow. The fact that he can go from believing Putin, about no Russian interference, and then just hours later say, "Oh, I believe the intelligence agencies." It's obvious that Trump is not his own man. He's definitely
right.
Under control from outside forces. Now, my last year's campaign was really more about keeping Hillary out of the White House than putting Donald Trump in. And I'm still glad that we kept Hillary out of the White House. But we definitely did not get the Donald Trump we voted for.
Right. There was one last thing. A movie came out this year. I just happened on it by chance, but it's called Bushwick. And people should watch it because it's where we're headed. There's... states secedes and the federal government isn't going for it, so there are ensuing misadventures, not so hilarious, but it's worthwhile. It's a relatively low budget movie, but it's well done. So
all right, well, we'll keep an eye out for it. Unfortunately, James, I'm going to have to let you go. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be back with another phone call after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org. Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are
are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show, and let's go back to the telephones here. Peter in Dallas, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. A couple of weeks ago, I listened to an excellent discussion between Stephen Molyneux and Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. Mm-hmm. And so I just like to get your opinion. I think Dr. Paul Craig Roberts basically feels that capitalism will ultimately end up with an unfair, uneven distribution of wealth. And my question is, or the one I've been asking myself, can capitalism with an honest money supply not end up with some of the players having all of it? Are there self-regulating mechanisms, or is Dr. Paul Craig Roberts right and you simply need a government that really watches over business?
Paul Craig Roberts is absolutely right, and he's not the first person to point out that ultimately capitalism is going to devolve into fascism. Vladimir Lenin predicted exactly the same thing. that as capitalism began to fail, it would become fascistic to preserve the wealth and power of those at the very top. And in the end, any system that you have, whether it's capitalism or socialism, it's only as good as those who are managing it. And if you have a government that is dedicated to managing the economy for the benefit of the entire nation, either system can be made to work. But when you have a government that allows itself to be bought out by the wealthy and becomes fascistic, which is corporate and government power aligned against the general population, then yes, you're going to see incredible wealth inequality, not just in capitalism, but even in socialism. In the Soviet Union, prior to the collapse, you know, they'd already had the rise of the oligarchs there. Your average Soviet citizen was very, very poor, very, very hard life. And in the middle of that, there were these politicians and these financiers who were incredibly wealthy. So, again, any of these systems can be made to work if you're dealing with a population that are basically saints. Unfortunately, human nature being what it is, we know that such systems are going to be perverted to serve personal greed and aggrandizement, and that's why there has to be some kind of a system outside human agency, meaning the laws, to keep it under control. And originally, capitalism was working when they had a recycling mechanism that would take the wealth accumulated at the very top and recycle it back down to the bottom as decent wages and salaries for ordinary working people in order to keep the system going. But fascism removes that.
What was different then? Was it because there was an honest money system? The money supply was honest money? Did that make it much more difficult for the banks to move the money to the few?
Well, that was part of it. The idea, when you have an honest money system where the government is issuing a value-based currency that basically is equivalent to the gross domestic product, and there's a little bit of banking activity going on, the bulk of the money stays within the hands of the general population. Unfortunately, under private central banking, which by design creates more debt than money with which to pay the debt, over time, it is inevitable that all the real wealth of the country gets siphoned out of the people and put into the pockets of the bankers. So the decline of capitalism really began just about 100 years ago with the establishment of the Federal Reserve.
Well, that seems like a little bit like you're contradicting yourself, because that's my question. I'm saying, is the key thing the honest money supply that allows capitalism to work? So you're sort of saying yes, but... But if we lose that, but then you're kind of saying no, too.
No. An honest money system is one where the government coins the money and it spends it into circulation to buy what the government needs. And that money flows through commerce without accruing interest and then is taxed back in the exact same amount at the end of the cycle to balance the books. And that's the honest money system that this country was founded on. Under private central banking,
capitalism work with the honest money system? Are you saying eventually it's still going to be corrupted?
Well, there are going to be forces trying to corrupt it, but capitalism did work under that honest monetary system. There were abuses, yes, but it wasn't as out of balance as it is under our current system, where the private central bank is allowed to just create money out of thin air. May I finish? Okay, our current system is the private central bankers are allowed to create money literally out of thin air and then loan it into circulation at interest. And that is, of course, a system of enslavement of the people, of the country, eventually of the government itself.
Well, yeah, I get that. I'm all with you on that. My debate with my own head is what happens when we have an honest money supply, and can capitalism work, and will it be self-correcting? And I think you're kind of saying sort of, yeah, I think you're saying it worked for a
few centuries. There still has to be government oversight of the financial sector, because the financial sector is all about greed. And we've got, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years of history showing that that is the way the financial system works. These are people who went into finance in order to become very, very rich. And I don't have a problem with people who become rich by working within the system, manufacturing products we want to buy. My problem is with those con artists who game the system so that money flows into their pocket and they're not returning anything substantive of value to the culture in exchange for it. And what we need to do is make sure that the people who are monitoring the financial system are not allowed to invest in that financial system. That's really where the problem is. There is a presidential blind trust to prevent the president's personal investments from swaying his decisions. But we ought to have exactly the same thing on all members of Congress and all people who are in charge of these oversight organizations of Wall Street. And that's just going to have to be a deal. If they want that job, we'll give them a good salary, but you're not allowed to, you know, be in charge of your own investments. It has to go into a blind trust. And that has to be enforced. But when you have members of Congress who view each new piece of legislation in terms of their own stock portfolio, inevitably, over time, the government does get dragged into the service of the money junkies.
Well, before I leave you, let me just ask you one other question related. How about the taxation of unearned income? I think I forgot the guy's name, Michael Sutton. Michael wrote a pretty good book all about unearned income and how, you know, that also allows wealth to be concentrated. It's like in Mexico. When I went to Mexico, there's no tax on property, and I thought, well, this is great. And then I realized that basically that's how people held money and held power. They just owned all the land, and they never let go of it, so everybody would pay rents to them. And it was so difficult for the peasant to own land that they kept that system. So this idea of unearned income being taxed at a very low rate is another way that the system is rigged to concentrate wealth. I don't know if you're familiar with that unearned
yeah,
income.
Yeah, I am familiar with that. And interestingly enough, when the income tax was first proposed, it was supposed to be a tax on return from investments, not wages and salaries. And that was definitely designed to put the tax burden on those who could afford to pay the taxes rather than dropping it down on the middle and lower classes where it is today.
Okay, Michael, thanks.
All right, thanks an awful lot. Peter, we're going to let you go. The phone lines are open. Getting on back to the international scene, the Subcommittee on National Security in the U.S. House of Representatives basically held hearings to address the issue of moving the U.S. Embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And not too surprisingly, not one of the witnesses called was a Palestinian or spoke for Palestinian rights and interests. Now, this hearing seems intended to put pressure on Donald Trump to relocate the embassy. And there is an issue with that. Right now, Tel Aviv is the capital of Israel. They want to move it to Jerusalem. But remember, when the United Nations set up the partition plan, the original partitioning of Palestine, Jerusalem was supposed to be a shared city. And, of course, Israel is defying that UN resolution, and they want to get the U.S. to sort of grant their imprimatur on Israel's capture of Jerusalem by moving the embassy there. And it's another indication that our government is more concerned about what's going on in Israel than it is concerned with what's going on Main Street USA. The Israeli army is preparing to demolish an entire neighborhood of Palestinian homes in the Jordan Valley in the occupied West Bank. The neighborhood is home to some 300 Palestinians who are going to be expelled from the area. And it's basically several high-rise buildings that are going to be brought down by controlled demolition. So Israel is just, again, they're commandeering land that they don't own. They're kicking out the Palestinians. They're destroying their homes, and they're building homes for Israelis. All of this in violation of international law. But Israel's attitude, supported by the U.S. government, is international law should not apply to them. Because of the Holocaust, because of all the suffering throughout the ages, blah, 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 blah. Apparently, the Israeli law enforcement investigation into Bibi Netanyahu now has enough evidence to bring formal charges of bribery against the country's prime minister. This is in reports coming out of Sputnik News. Now, remember, a couple of weeks ago, a member of the Knesset proposed a new bill which would say it is illegal to investigate or charge or try the sitting prime minister of Israel. And apparently that bill did not really get all that far because they're once again talking about indictments. And by the way, we're hearing all this word about indictments here and indictments there, especially sealed indictments. Okay, until somebody's actually charged, it's just more smoke. And I've been getting all these emails about people saying, oh, there's 100 sealed indictments in Virginia and Washington, D.C. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons for indictments to be sealed. It doesn't necessarily mean something is getting ready to happen to the people we would like to see something get ready to happen to. So don't get prematurely excited about this. And maybe I'm being cynical because of my long years as a political observer, but I want to see somebody actually arrested before I get excited about what's going on. Because indictments can sit under seal for years. There are sealed indictments in the court system going all the way back to the Nixon administration, where everybody did their job and the indictment is put on in, but it's under seal. And as long as a judge doesn't unseal it, it doesn't move forward. Now, Syria's ambassador to the United Nations, Bashar al-Jafari, is slamming the United Nations for ignoring the fact that Israel has nuclear weapons, basically pointing out how the West supplied Israel with nuclear technology and allowed it to ignore Iraq has a bomb factory under their power station at Oserak. So Israel went and bombed the Oserak power station. And following the Iraq war, international observers went on in and looked at the records of the Oserak power station, and all they found was a power station. There was no hidden bomb factory. So now Israel's doing the same thing with Iran. Oh, Iran's doing this and Iran's doing that. Okay. Gosh darn that Skype here. Well, I'm glad we're back here. Going on back to the situation, Israel's nuclear weapons are the 500-pound gorilla in the room. And everybody knows Israel has them. They built the first generation with weapons-grade uranium they got from right here in the United States of America, the NUMEX scandal. And the United States, ever since the Kennedy assassination, the United States has turned a blind eye to Israel's possession of nuclear weapons. Remember when Obama had his first press conference as president? And he was asked point blank, what nations in the Middle East have nuclear weapons today? And he put on his tap shoes and he danced around in a circle, say, we view nonproliferation very, very seriously. And Helen Thomas, the lady who had asked that question, who'd been with the White House press corps for decades, found herself without a job the very next day. Meanwhile, apparently on the outskirts of Blida in southern Lebanon, an Israeli patrol fired smoke grenades toward a Lebanese army intelligence patrol. And it sounds to me like maybe Israel was hoping the Lebanese would actually fire back with live weapons, and then they could say, oh, Lebanon's attacking us, the war is on, the war is on. Apparently, over in western Iraq, U.S. Marines are building a new American base in Anbar, and supposedly to drive the extremists out of their last redoubt in the country. Basically, it looks like the U.S. is going to garrison Iraq from now on, like they're trying to do in Afghanistan. Story over at Al Jazeera asking, will Lebanon become Saudi's next Yemen? And they're basically talking about how this strange situation where Hariri flies to Riyadh, supposedly just for a few days, then all of a sudden makes a public announcement he's stepping down from his position in the government and never came back home. And so all of a sudden people are saying Riyadh forced him to do the resignation. They want to put somebody else in Lebanon who's more adept at imposing Saudi's regime on Lebanon. But the latest word out of Saudi Arabia is that Hariri is going to return to Lebanon, and he may, in fact, step back into the position of prime minister because his resignation has not been officially accepted. Technically, he's still the prime minister of Lebanon, and he says he may step back into the job as long as there's an agreement on a policy of neutrality involving Hezbollah. So a lot of stuff going on over there. Meanwhile, the blockade in Yemen is continuing, according to the United Nations. Even though Saudi Arabia supposedly opened up the port at Aden, very little is actually getting through. and hardly any of it is getting to the interior of the country. And there is massive famine. There is a massive cholera outbreak, which may even be a biowar attack because it popped up in multiple locations at the same time. And it wouldn't be the first time cholera would be used as a biological weapon. When Japan invaded China in the years leading up to World War II, they were dropping cholera in all the Chinese water wells. Meanwhile, thousands of Yemenis, young and old, took to the streets to protest the Saudi-led blockade that has left people struggling to survive. The siege is oppressive. It is collective punishment. It is a violation of international law. And it just really underscores how crazy that part of the world is becoming right now. And a lot of the craziness seems to be going on over in Saudi Arabia, where there's this purge going on, and they're pushing into Yemen. Now they're talking about Lebanon and Iran. We're looking at a potential regional war here that could very easily turn into a full-on-out global war, which I would not want to see too much of. All right, we're going to take a break for some commercials here, and we'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all cost if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor, and for some, there is no choice, but again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder, what's a guy on Main Street to do? I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate. I want to do just what I please.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking about Saudi Arabia, and there's a lot of turmoil going on over there. And now we're hearing a report where a senior Saudi official has announced that Saudi's King Salman has changed his mind about stepping down from the throne. So that is going to throw a monkey wrench into whatever is working over there in Riyadh. Because it looked like this purge was to clear the decks for Crown Prince bin Salman to assume the throne without opposition and move ahead with whatever the plans are for Lebanon and Iran. And now all of a sudden, King Salman, who is very old and he's not all there, apparently is throwing a tantrum and saying, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. So we'll see what's going to happen there. Meanwhile, back in Yemen, the Houthi Ansarallah movement, which is the people of Yemen trying to keep from being ruled by a foreign puppet ruler, they're now threatening to hit Saudi warships and oil tankers with missiles. And apparently this was not a hastily taken decision. They had a meeting of Yemeni naval officers. And but again, Saudi Arabia started this going into Yemen on behalf of the United States of America, and Yemen is now warning the battleships and oil tankers of the aggression and their movements will not be safe from the fire of Yemeni naval forces if they are directed by the senior leadership. So this thing is definitely breaking out. Saudi Arabia has now requested an urgent Arab League meeting amid regional tensions. And the word is basically Saudi Arabia is going to try and get the rest of the Arab League to unite in a campaign against Iran. Now, there's a small problem with that we need to keep in mind. Iran is trading partners with Russia. Russia has already said they will come to Iran's assistance if Iran is attacked. Saudi Arabia probably already has assurances from the U.S. government that the U.S. government will come to Saudi Arabia's aid in a war with Iran. So we're looking at a regional Middle Eastern war stretching all the way from Iran over to the Mediterranean. Israel will probably take the opportunity to go into Lebanon and Syria, and it will bring the U.S. and Russia into just a hair's breadth from direct conflict with each other. So this thing is getting about as real can get here. You should be concerned. You should be worried about this. Because if this thing breaks on, I mean, look at how rapidly it's escalating and how chaotic all of this process is. If this gets into nuclear exchanges, who knows where it'll stop? Now, apparently, hundreds of Ethiopian soldiers have been spotted crossing the border town of Dolo into Somalia carrying heavy artillery. So Somalia is heating up again. I noticed they were running Black Hawk Down on the cable channels over the weekend, maybe getting us all ready for that. Oh, the helicopters are cool. Now, oh, we got to take a break for station identification, and we'll be right back.
There's an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.